Okay, so yeah, new digs. Ideas about dwelling, not teaching, but just putting into our atmosphere. I hope that you can engage with it through this time, let the Spirit roll it around in you. And yeah, feedback. I thought I was going to be concentrating on the body and fivefold sort of stuff, you know, shape and form. But after James's talk, you know, on the presence, it haunted me through the week. I couldn't shake this. It's really been with me, and I wanted to hit up the presence. I wanted to bounce off what was happening there. And so where we've landed is somewhere in between, a sort of body stuff and presence stuff, and really the two are, they're all interconnected anyway. Hey. Yeah, so I've got some pictures, and you can, at the end, if you see anything, notice anything, please feel free to share what you get. This is what I'm hovering around a couple of scriptures, but Psalm 27:4, we've heard it through the worship, we've heard it already, but here it is. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And this is what James dropped last Sank, and it's good. I've felt a shift within me since that time. I'm just trying to pursue this. And this first love, the one thing, face to face, the presence. You know? And I just felt to slot it in next to this verse. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And I just clipped in a little bit, which is from Corinthians 3:16. God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. And I kind of love the way that these verses go together. You know, you can hear David's kind of nearly simple kind of desire. You know, I want to dwell with you, God. I want to be in your midst. And Paul kind of imploring the Corinthians, like, please understand. You know, don't you realize that God now dwells with us? He came to us. He's in our midst. David wants to meet, be with God. Glory and pause. He is here. He's with you. And there's this kind of beautiful crossover and interaction that describes the activity of indwelling. Like as a personal thing, you hear the I in David. I. It's personal, you know. But it's utterly interconnected, interwoven with family and community, as Paul says. And I was thinking, it's kind of David was looking to build the physical temple, you know, it was sort of given to his son, Solomon, but he sort of prepared the way for that to happen. And here's Paul on the other side when it's already happened. Jesus has come, we've got the Holy Spirit, and he's kind of looking back and goes, don't you know that this has been done? You know, he's done it. And so both are kind of held in this interesting space of transformation, of moving into something. And I feel it's kind of like where we're at, I think, as a body. There's this movement and this thing, this journey. We're in a liminal space, the threshold space. We're all in that, moving towards it. So this is where that new digs idea kind of came in, this new place of being home. You know, God never desired a static temple, you know, to be visited in. He wants to be home with us. Seeking and dwelling in the secret place, the quiet place with God. And you know, the secrets sung by God to us in the quiet, in that gaze, form the weapons of a family and a body alive. I love this picture because it's kind of got the triangle structure. Sort of got that skeleton there, you know. And And it looks like this place should be filled with plants. Looks like a greenhouse. But there's no plants there. But the wild trees are pursuing and encroaching this structure. And it's breaking in, breaking under. The whole place is kind of pregnant with possibility. And there's some interesting articles in there, like these lights. And this old, like, rocking chair. But I just see, the main thing I saw was just God just wanting to break in to us. I guess at the leadership meeting, Ads mentioned Psalm 27:4. And I was making scribbles, kind of like I usually do, so I can remember things and interact with words, which helps me to just engage with the Spirit. Because Ads says, this is a key scripture. First sanctuary, I drew a key. And this key is absolutely shocking, isn't it? It's like, as I drew it, I'm like, this is like a terrible, terrible drawing. Like, what is that? I'm like, this has to be the worst key anyone's ever kind of drawn. And I worked on it to try and fix it. You know, I'm like, oh, I've got to turn this into a proper key. And I'm like, what is this? What is this key? And the Spirit's just sort of sidled in. He just goes, it's a skeleton key. It's a skeleton key. And I was like, okay, I better find out what that is. And a skeleton key, by definition, is a type of master key in which the serrated edge has been removed so that it can open numerous locks, most commonly the warded lock. And a warded lock uses a set of obstructions to prevent a lock from opening. The term derives from the fact that the key has been reduced to its essential parts. Yeah, so normally there would be like, and how I drew it first was like this, more like this. But it's like the serrations of a normal key are here, and they get sliced off to make this simpler, simpler key. Now, each of you is this master's key of the master. Now, that serrated edges are sharpened, kind of pointy pieces, our defenses, the way we cope. Maybe the way we elevate ourselves, maybe the way we hide or set limitations. You know, they've been removed in this key. It actually limits access, those extra little bits. And the skeleton key, when it's been simplified, the access has been enhanced. So it can do more things when it's come down to a simple nature. It's essential stuff. It can open many doors and many locks. And things that once like completely obstructed us are bypassed. It skips it. I really do love that wording, reduced to the essential parts. It's kind of like that journey of being pruned. You know, and it sort of echoes that Psalm 27:4, that the underlining of the one thing, you know, that I ask, the one thing that I seek. It's kind of about the personal journey we're on. Hilariously, Shell goes, I'll get you a drink. You know, I don't want you to be parched while you're doing your talk. Fills up the thermos. So it's like, we'll hear about it. And I love ice. I love freezing cold ice water. And I never had a thermos. And Shell works at a retail store where she has all those sorts of things. And she got me one. And she sort of did the hard sell when she gave it to me. She's like, it'll work for 8 hours. It's the best special metals. You know, I'm like, oh, this is great. Sounds good. So I filled it up with tap water and I put it in the fridge. And just sort of dreamt all day about how cold that water was going to be. You know, glacial. And I come back 8 hours later. I take a swig and it's lukewarm. It's lukewarm. And I'm like, Joe! No, he bought me a broken thermos. Take it back. She's just kind of like, yeah, this. She's like, Dave, it's what goes in it that makes it cold. It's what you put inside it. You know what goes in. You know, we can sit in a church atmosphere, you know, our whole life. We can sit next to people who are on fire. People in our own family, you know. And its atmosphere doesn't affect. We hope it would. But it doesn't affect the inner deep, like inside of this thermos. It's the realm where the Spirit ignites you and lights you up. And this journey is firstly yours and His. And this is just an invitation to that, to pop the lid. Because His desire is to fill you to the brim, to overflow. God recently said to me, I want to have secrets with you. I was like, okay, whoa. You know, I got excited and I told a couple of people, I'm like, God wants to have secrets with me. You know, God wants to have secrets with me. But I started like exploring secrets, you know, ideas of secrets. And, you know, immediately I thought of Daniel, you know, Daniel. Exile, going to this sort of secret sort of ritual of prayer that he had, where he'd go into his room and, you know, shut the doors or open the window. And he had this kind of constant rhythmic prayer that happened in his life. And it happened no matter what was happening inside of that kingdom and where he was put, despite what was happening. And I found like some other secrets. In Matthew 6:1, where Jesus is talking about the unseen, and you mentioned the unseen, rewards from the Father. And he gives like the example of giving, let your giving be in secret. You know, don't blow a trumpet, don't, you know, boast about it on the streets and proclaim, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Yeah. And your Father who sees what happens in the secret, reward what happens in the secret place. And praying as well, that came into secrets as well. You don't pray to be seen on the street like the Pharisees. No, don't babble. Just go into your room and he'll see you and reward the unseen. And I feel like the overarching concept, you know, as I'm playing with this with the Spirit, trying to understand what you're saying, what you're doing, and you know, don't be a fake, don't be a sham, but mostly don't value man's honor over mine. The unseen world of your heart is his realm. Amen. And he wants to reward you, you know. But no hypocrisy, please. Your heart is the first place, it's my temple, and that sacred place trumps honor in the natural. It's funny. Even as I was writing this and sitting at my laptop, I just felt like the Spirit, like regarding me. You know, just kind of, he's just looking at me. And he said, why did you feel the need to tell people that I want to have secrets with you? I don't know what you do when God says that stuff, but I kind of like went up straight and kind of was thinking about it. It's like, oh. You know, and I thought I caught it like a little sort of smile, but he said, are you practicing your righteousness before others? And I went, you know, I just kind of went, oh, no. And I went, okay, yeah, that's interesting. I breathed out. Might be a thing. And I'm like, well, I only told a couple of people. Like, just a couple. It wasn't like it, yeah. And I'm still sort of like, pause, like, listen, what is he going to say next? And like, well, can I put this in? It's kind of, like, am I allowed to put this in the talk? Or is, you know, I'll put in the bit where I get in trouble as well, you know. So it's like the whole. And when I, you know, I was kind of like, when I look back, he was just laughing. It's just, I just saw the Spirit just laughing. You know? And so I think it's okay. It was okay to tell you. God wants to have secrets with you. He wants to have secrets with you. Yeah, so when the Spirit initially said secrets, I was also like, well, that's where I put my gross stuff. You know, that's my secrets, you know. You know, hide them away. It's kind of like that room, you know, in some people's houses where it just becomes like the storage room, like a dump room. Yeah. Just chuck stuff into it. And the Spirit is like, oh, what's in here? He just straight in. You're like, no, hey. And he's like, this is the room I've been waiting to see, you know. And you're fixated on the mold, you know, or the broken bottles in the corner, or the pile of old clothes. And he, like, pushes some secret latch in the wall, and this thing slides out. And you're like, I didn't know that was there. And he's sort of saying, you know, I know the exact dimension of this room. You know, I built this room. You know, I got big plans for this room. I got me some treasures that I want to put in this room. And this place that you thought was a dump, I'm moving in. And this is my new digs. I think his secrets could change everything about the way we see ourselves, you know, and how you see yourself in the body, how I see myself in the body. So as we sort of move from this blue, from this triangular church where the focal point is a prime human leader, the principal professional God person who translates God's activity and shows us all how to live goodly, as we move from this into the place where we have a direct access to his presence in the green. He talks to you. It's always meant to be like that. He talks to you. And he was like, it's not that that thing was wrong. It's just that it was meant for him. We just put it to something else. You know, like the Israelites crying out for the king. We want a king. Yeah. Everyone else has got a king. We want a king. And we put up a king. Yeah. And we live like that. And that king, we're under them. And we hurt them. And we wreck them. But this is how it was always meant to be. And the Holy Spirit is that for all of us, directly connected to all of us. That's you. Like, that's you in here in a chair. If you're sitting in a chair, that's you. At the same leadership meeting, Michael was just like summing up the hearts of the elders and the leaders. And he's in sort of summing up, he said, we want to release you. We want to release you. And we want to encourage you. And that's not kind of like the, for me, that was nice. It's like the atmosphere of this church is it's not the leaders who want the focal point on them. They actually want to release you. They're not holding you tight in the grip. They want to release you to be in this, to be in his presence, utterly free, to pursue your purpose in his presence. I was like, that's so nice. Thank you, leaders and elders. Look how it affects, like, the shape as well, like, in those terms of, like, the connection. I mean, this is like a, if you took a photo of a movie, you know, the swallows, the murmuring, you took a quick photo and you saw this, you know. Yeah, how different are the connections? Like, and I think we're starting to experience that between each other. So we feed each other and sharpen each other. Each person, like, in this picture has a place. Not a clumped in at the bottom there, kind of fighting for a view. You know, everyone's got this space within that structure. We hold each other to him. We sharpen each other for him. And I feel like right now, as individuals, as we're forming up, we just need to be just aware that enemy doesn't like that. You know, we need to just be aware that he's going to try and niggle the ligaments between us as we start to find ourselves in this form. And just listen for that within yourself. As you hear this voice talking to you about this person, that person, that person might be, you know, your getaway car, your shotgun, you know, that and he's trying to separate that at this level when it's starting just to grow. So let's be aware, protect each other in that as it grows. God's given us weapons. Let's use them. Yeah, so he's like consolidating you and me individually, and he's consolidating us as a whole. Which is, he's making all the parts directly aware of his love more effective at loving. Both him and our others and ourselves. And I think like this actually increases the scope of worship too. You know, that as we abide in him and as he prunes back, he can produce fruit in whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is, wherever you walk in life. It gives him glory when you produce fruit. It's close to worship. Our being becomes worship as we start to see ourselves inside of this. And like Paul said, our being together becomes worship. So I love this, like just this dwelling place that's we're exploring in that expression. I just love it. It's so good. Like the skeleton key, as we stop striving and just simplify ourselves in him, he uses the context of our lives to bring kingdom in ways that we couldn't access before. Because where we dwell, he dwells. God of sandwiches. I didn't actually ask Jazz if I could share this, but at that same meeting, like I don't just go to the meetings and like just write down all my notes for the thing, but it just happened this way, guys. Okay, it was just, there was a lot that happened in that meeting, and this was another one. It was just kind of all wrapped up, sort of. God of sandwiches, just as a cool example of this happening, Jazz just gave a little testimony about how, you know, she's making sandwiches as her job, and I'm going through and doing all the lunch orders, and, you know, the final one is she finishes a chicken salad, you know, for Rosie, and at that moment, Rosie walked in, and she's like, oh, I've just finished your lunch order, you know, here it is. She's like, Rose's like, I didn't order. I didn't place an order. You know, like, she's like, oh, and goes and checks the orders. Not there. And she's like, oh, well, you can have this. I've just made chicken salad. And she's like, that's exactly what I came into order. I just love that so much. Just how he permeates and like that permeates our life, you know. Overlaps into whatever aspect it is. And I went up to Jazz after and said, wow, he's the God of sandwiches. He's the God of sandwiches. And she laughed and she's like, yeah, he just did it. Just did it. And yeah, he's a good father. And what's that verse? You know, if a child asked for something, you know, who would give him stone? But how great is the father who gives good gifts to us? She's like, what is that thing that child asked for? And I said, I just cracked up. It's like, it was bread. It was bread. Child asked for bread, for sandwiches. It's the God of sandwiches, Jazz. And we both just cracked up. For me, I'm going to finish. But I hope the Spirit continues to speak to you about how you're a skeleton key and about how you can clear space for him to utter and sing and reveal his secrets and about your identity as you take up your place and form as he reconnects you into wholeness in his body.